happy band, though we're foreign to this land. We're at home in God's right hand, in the heavenlies. To this world of sin we died, with our Lord once crucified. Now we're seated at His side, in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, the Christ the Savior's knees. Safe in Christ forevermore, in the heavenlies. Christ the Lamb for sinners slain, blessed news to David plain. All His worth we now may claim, in the heavenlies. Since we're saved from endless woe, daily in His grace we grow. Jesus only will we know, in the heavenlies. Sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, safe in Christ forevermore. In the heavenlies, God Almighty gulfed His span and revealed His wondrous plan when He made us one new man. In the heavenlies, so if we will only pray, He will do for us today. Say, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, safe in Christ forevermore. In the heavenlies, with our sword and helmet bright, we will win the heart of spite as we battle for the right. Neither rest nor weary feet, till the victory is complete. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, safe in Christ forevermore. In the heavenlies, Christ to us His love has shown, sealed us for His own. Now we're waiting for a throne in the heavenlies. Not of earth do we desire, we're baptized with holy fire. Only love doth He require. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. Forevermore in the heavenlies. When our victories all are won, we shall hear the cry well done. Then we'll reign with Christ the Son in the heavenlies. We'll be robed in spotless white, praising Jesus day and night. For we conquer through His might in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, let us sing it. Carpenter of Galilee, with its payments paid and its title made out to me. It's home where there is no night, home where the sun is the light, the place I've been thinking of so long.
me. But his sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I'll be going home. Everybody dreams of going home, it seems. Lately I am no exception to the rule. But home is so much more than windows, walls, and doors. It's the promised place where Jesus awaits for you. Where there is no night, home, where the sun is the light, the place I've been thinking of so long. Loved ones there to welcome me, but his sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I'll be going home. It's home where there is no night. Home where the sun is the light. The place I've been thinking of so but his sweet face will be the first I'll see. When my journey's over, I'll be going home.
Let's begin our scriptural reading today in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. If you'll open your Bibles with me today to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, we'll read these words that are found here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews here encourages us to take time to consider the faithfulness of our high priest to accomplish for us, for all who believe, a full and complete redemption by the sacrifice of himself. And it is because our high priest was and is faithful, we have been made holy. That is, we've been made separate from the rest of humanity, separated unto God for his glory and for his use. And therefore, we have been made partakers of the heavenly calling. That is a calling that comes from heaven and a calling to heaven. Today I want us to consider and to be reminded that we are a heavenly people and we should be heavenly minded. It's so easy for us to forget that our calling is a heavenly calling and that we are a heavenly people as we go through our day-to-day life. Up until now, our experience, everything that we've known is earthly. It is often hard for us to think beyond our earthly experiences. And that's why our Christian walk is a walk of faith. Our faith is in knowing what God has revealed to be true about us and about our calling, which is a heavenly calling. We're not to live our life as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to live our life based on our feelings or knowledge or experience, but rather we are to live our life according to what God has revealed to be true. We live according to the revealed will of God. The only real way to enjoy a lasting peace and joy and satisfaction in this earthly life is to live by faith in the revealed will of God that points us to heaven. The unsaved individual and even the carnal Christian, they think the way to happiness and contentment in this life is to live for today, focused only on the earthly experiences. But such an earthly focus to living life will not lead to any lasting joy, peace, contentment, or hope. It'll lead to disappointment, sorrow, sadness, hopelessness. An earthly mentality to living life will result in constant ups and downs because circumstances will dictate how you feel, what you do, and what you say. But the child of God is to be dictated not by circumstances, but rather by what God says to be true and about God's calling us upward to heaven. The Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, Paul in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, teaching us about the hope of the resurrection of the believer, he writes these words, 1 Corinthians 15, 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." If the resurrection of the believer to an eternal heavenly home in the presence of God, if that is a hoax, we are to be pitied as the most foolish, gullible group of people in the whole human race. Of course, if that revelation is true, that those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ will be physically resurrected to live eternally in a heavenly home, if that's true, then we are a people that should be envied above every other people in the human race. It is the very hope of our heavenly home, our certain expectation of living forever in the presence of God in a home that's prepared for us in heaven. It's that very hope that makes this present earthly life worth living. And without that hope, this life has no meaning. This earthly life is important, and how we live it matters, but it matters only in the light of eternity and as a preparation for heaven. Otherwise, it has no meaning. We are to understand and cope with our earthly experiences with a heavenly perspective. I think it is important for us to be reminded of this truth as we face all the challenges and difficulties that the current pandemic has produced. We need to maintain a heavenly perspective during this very difficult time. If we don't maintain that heavenly perspective, we will become overwhelmed and discouraged and depressed when faced with the restrictions, the financial hardships, the sickness, and even the death that are the result of this pandemic. Recently, we've read news stories about an ER doctor that took her own life because she became overwhelmed by all the suffering and death that she saw every day, day after day after day. It became too much for her. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he was saying that if the blessings and the promises of the gospel to the believer in this life were the primary and ultimate purpose of God for us, and if heaven is a myth, we are to be pitied above all men because our hope, on which we are to base everything that we do, it would be a lie, and that would be pitiful. Our expectation would never be realized and make our entire life a waste and without purpose. If heaven isn't real, then the conclusion of Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, his conclusion about the sum of man's earthly experiences, it would be correct when he wrote, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. All is emptiness and nothingness, if this is all there is." I think we need to look at our Christian life with that same brutal honesty. We can't afford to be sitting on the fence or to be half-hearted about our faith in Jesus Christ. Either the world is right about the foolishness of the gospel and its promise of heaven, or we are right in believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has gone to prepare a place for us. There is no middle ground. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Paul was willing to sacrifice his entire life, his earthly life, for his faith in the truth of the gospel. And so am I. I believe the witness of God's word. I believe the witness of the Spirit of God in my life and to my life and in the life of those who live by faith. We need to remember that the hope and the calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ are heavenly, not earthly. This life, even at its best, is not that to which God has called us. Despite what the Bible has revealed to be true about heaven and about this life, many of God's people live their life as if this life is all there is. Many carnal Christians spend their entire life indulging the lust of the flesh as if that is the greatest and only satisfaction of our existence. Their motto is, "Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Others spend all of their time and energy amassing wealth down here with no thought about their eternal wealth. Still, others who are zealous for the Lord make their earthly ministry and their earthly witness and God's meeting all their earthly needs, whether it be healing or finances or miracles, they make those things the priority of their life and of their message to the world. They focus on the manifestation of the power of God here on earth. That's the focus of their life and their message and their hope. God's power giving me these things in this life. I once heard someone say that the next big thing on God's calendar is to send a healing wave over the USA. Well, saints, that would be great. But if that was God's priority, and that was my greatest hope of the gospel, then I'm to be pitied. Because one day this body is going to die anyway. To be honest with you, I'm not looking for a healing wave. Now, if God sends one, I want to dive into it. I want to bring him glory and acknowledge that it's his power and his working and his sovereignty. But saints, I'm not looking for a healing wave. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet that will call me home to heaven. And meanwhile, while I'm listening for that trumpet, desiring, wanting it to sound, meanwhile, I want to live in such a way as to be ready when Jesus comes. Now, don't misunderstand me. God does manifest his power here on earth in this life and in the life of his people. In fact, he promises to do so. But that promise comes with an eternal, heavenly focus. When he does manifest himself and manifest his power in the life of his people here in this life on this earth, it's with a heavenly purpose that he does it. The blessings we receive in this life, as well as the hardships that we endure, they are all to be understood as preparing us for our eternal heavenly home. We all are familiar with Romans 8:28. I'm sure most of us can quote it, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We often quote this verse, but we also often forget that the calling and purpose of God for his people are heavenly, and that the good that God is working in and through every experience in this earthly life is eternal good, not temporary good. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 16 to 18, one of my favorite passages that helped me always to refocus my attention and give focus to my perspective when I'm going through difficult times. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, "Therefore we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding," and what kind of measure or weight of glory? "And eternal weight or measure of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen," notice the perspective, "while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's fullest purpose for me is not to make me comfortable on this earth. That's not what He's promised. That's not what His end goal is for my life. Nor is my destiny suffering and sorrow and death. That's not my destiny that God has promised me. The blessings as well as the hardships and responsibilities of this life, they are only opportunities to allow God to prepare me for eternity. When we lose sight of our heavenly calling, life can become overwhelming when things are bad. And life can become a distraction, and we can be sidetracked when things are good in our life. We can forget that we are a heavenly people with a heavenly calling. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10, we have the example of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the mentality and the perspective that they had in living their life on this earth. And it is one that we should imitate. We are to imitate their faith. Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's jump down to verses 13 to 16 in this same Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were foreigners and pilgrims on the earth. We must be mindful to maintain the same mentality of a foreigner and a pilgrim while we are living this earthly life. We are to enjoy life more than anyone else on the planet. We who believe in Jesus Christ, who have this heavenly calling, this heavenly hope, we are to enjoy life more than anyone else because our life has purpose. We are to be faithful to fulfill our daily responsibilities at home and at work. We are to be model citizens, the best husband and wife, children, young people. But we are to do all of these things, live our life with the expectation and the desire to go home when the time comes, when God says it's time to come home, either by the way of the grave, death, or by translation. As we live this life, we are content in our pilgrimage here on the earth, but our goal and our desire is to return home. We have to maintain that perspective, that mentality. I'm always glad when I have the opportunity to make missionary trips to South America, whenever I'm able to go. I appreciate so much the relationships that I have with many of the saints there. And I'm content to be there and to occupy myself by preaching and teaching and encouraging God's people in the Word of God. But while I'm there, my thoughts are always, you know, I'm glad I'm having this opportunity. What a privilege it is to be here and to be part of what God's doing in the life of these saints in South America. But I'll be glad to get back home. I'm content and occupied while I am there in that foreign country as a foreigner, but I'm always longing to go home. And that's also the way that I feel about this life in general, even when I'm here in my cozy house in Colorado, that I call home on this earth. I enjoy my life and my ministry here in Colorado, but I'm longing for my heavenly, eternal home. this life that we live here, it's all about this earthly existence. It's earthly and it's physical. But our calling, our invitation, our vocation is to the heavenly and the spiritual, not the earthly. We must understand that this heavenly calling is the priority in God's dealing with us, and therefore should be the priority in all that we do in this life. God is eternal. He's given us eternal life. We should therefore understand that He will always deal with us with eternity in mind. Though He deals with us in these earthly experiences, He's with us, He guides us in these earthly experiences, He orders our steps. All of that's true, but it's all with eternity in mind. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul gives us these exhortations. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Paul says, seek, and in the Greek, the form of the word is keep seeking. It's a continual process. As long as you have breath in this life, you seek the things which are above. Set your affections on things above. That is, exercise your mind. Entertain or have the sentiment or opinion, intense searching and seeking an interest in the things above. That's what the word means. But how do we interpret that? Are we supposed to separate ourselves from all earthly relationships and duties and responsibilities? Are we to sit in a cave somewhere and meditate on heaven all day long? Is that what it means to set our affections on things above, not on earthly things? No, that's not what Paul is saying. And you read his instructions for life, you understand that very quickly. But it does mean that everything we do in this life is to be done in the light of and in preparation for heaven. Our motives and actions are to be to obtain the spiritual and heavenly things which are above. We can sum up the meaning of heavenly things and setting our mind on heavenly things as seeking to be pleasing to the one with whom we will spend eternity. It means that we are to seek and follow after the things that please Him, the one who's coming for us. So we don't ignore all of these earthly responsibilities and relationships. It's just that we conduct ourselves while living this life in such a way that it pleases Him and prepares us to rule and reign with Him. To give you an example in the natural, that how that we can live our earthly life and fulfill our daily responsibilities and yet still have this heavenly eternal perspective. An example is, let's say your calling or your career that you choose as a determined young teenager is that of being a computer engineer. So everything you do is with this goal in mind. You throw newspapers, you cut grass, you do a lot of things, a lot of odd jobs to make money, but that's not your career. That's not your calling. Those are things you do until you enter into that calling. You go through high school, and then you take college, and the classes you take in high school and college, they're all classes that you intend to help prepare you to be ready to get a job as a computer engineer. Now, anywhere along the way in this plan, this career plan of yours, anywhere along the way, one or more of these other things that you do may cause you to be distracted, and they themselves can then become the focus of your life. For example, you can take on too many jobs that you end up failing your classes that are preparing you for your career as a computer engineer. But if you keep your goal in mind, why are you doing these things? Why are you taking these classes? Why are you doing these jobs so you can have money to continue your pursuit of this career? Why are you doing? If you keep the goal in mind, then you understand that all of these other things that you're doing have no other value to you except that they are stepping stones to help you reach your goal. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, Jesus exhorts his disciples to lay up treasures for themselves, not on earth, but in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 to 21. We are to spend this life laying up treasures in heaven. We need to understand that this calling is not just a future calling, because all that have accepted Jesus as their Savior have already benefited from the calling to and from heaven. By faith, we are already seated in the heavenlies. This is what Paul teaches us in Ephesians 2, verses 5 to 7. There is yet a future aspect to our heavenly calling, but those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are already beginning to benefit from those heavenly blessings and benefits that come from putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 7. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So there we see the present and the future aspects of this heavenly calling. We already have been provided access and are able to enjoy the spiritual blessings of heaven because our spirit has been made alive to God. God is already, right now, in this life, doing an eternal heavenly work in us. We are already being transformed from glory to glory as we yield to God's spiritual heavenly work in us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our life, for example, we are experiencing in this life the power of God, the power of heaven, to change us and prepare us for heaven. In Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22, we're encouraged to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have this opportunity because a new and a living way has been made for us into the very presence of God who dwells in heaven. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22 gives us this assurance of this new and living way that allows us to come boldly into the presence of God. Sin separated us from God and his heavenly blessings. We were dead to them. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are given direct access to the very throne room of God and his grace, where we can petition our heavenly Father for everything we need to be successful in doing his will, so that we will be ready when Jesus comes. We are not yet there physically, but through our prayers, through this new and living way that's been made open for us, our spirit enters into the heavenlies to communicate with our Father. So we are already enjoying some of the benefits of our heavenly calling in this life. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 20 tells us that we are born from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's right now. Philippians 3:20 tells us that we are right now citizens of heaven. We live here on this earth, but we're foreigners. We're pilgrims. We're journeying through this life. As citizens of heaven, we already possess certain rights and privileges afforded the citizens of heaven. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," past tense, "with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice that these blessings are spiritual blessings, and they are in heavenly places. These are not natural blessings. earthly blessings, not in earthly places, but they are spiritual and they are heavenly. If we would go on to read the rest of Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 to 14, we won't take time to do that. But in Ephesians 1 verses 4 to 14, we see what those spiritual heavenly blessings are. We have been made holy and without blame before God. We are able to stand accepted in the presence of our Creator, and therefore we have now access to His favor. We have a standing in favor because He made us holy. Our faithful apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ, made us accepted in the presence of God. We've been predestined, another blessing listed here in Ephesians 1, predestined to the adoption of sons, to be placed as a son with all the responsibilities and usefulness and privileges of a son of God. That begins now, and it'll be fully manifested in eternity. We have been given redemption. We have been made free from sin to serve God forever. We've been forgiven of all of our sins. We've been given wisdom to live our life in a way that prepares us to rule and reign with Christ. We've been let in on the counsel of the Almighty, the all-wise God. These are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We've been made to know the will of God, His plans and His purposes for our life. We've been given an inheritance that is heavenly and eternal. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit as a witness of God's eternal plan and purposes for our life. Our spiritual wealth in Christ is eternal and far more valuable than any earthly blessing or wealth. These are the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that God's people have been given because of our heavenly calling. It is God's ultimate purpose to make us like His Son. That's His desire. That's His purpose. In fact, He desires to make us fit to share with Christ all that He has and all that He is, that we would rule and reign with Him as a joint equal heir. That's His purpose for you as His child. The greatest thing that you can seek after in this life is a personal knowledge of God and His Son and their purposes as revealed by the Holy Spirit. If you want to jot down Ephesians 1 once again, but now verses 15 to 23, Paul goes on to pray for God's people in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. And in Paul's prayer, he prayed that we would know the hope of His calling, His heavenly calling. Paul prayed that we would know and experience the power of God that works in us to change us, to prepare us to rule and reign with Christ, who has been raised to the right hand of God in heavenly places. That's the hope of the gospel, saints. These things, these purposes, are what we are to intensely set our mind on, our affections on. While living this earthly life, we are to view and value everything in this life in the light of eternity, in the light of these heavenly eternal purposes. We are to act, speak, live according to the love and righteousness of the heavenly kingdom that we are already a part of and of which we are now an ambassador. When we live with this mentality and with this hope and this love of His coming, we are laying up treasures in heaven. We're living our life, but in doing so, we're laying up treasures in heaven. We are adding to our inheritance that it might be an abundant, full entrance that we are given when Jesus comes, when this life is over. In Colossians 1 and verse 27, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Colossians 1, 27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Though God heals His people today, and though God still works miracles on behalf of His people, the great mystery and blessing and hope of the gospel is not that He will pay my bills or heal my body, but that He would save a lost sinner like me and exalt me to a place in His eternal kingdom, that I would share in His glory. That's the hope of the gospel. Christ in me, the hope of that future eternal heavenly glory. While I live this life, while I journey as a foreigner and a pilgrim on this earth, God will supply my every need. He will enable me to do His will in this life in order that I might obtain His highest place in glory. I have that assurance because of my heavenly calling. Sometimes God's faithfulness to me in this life involves a miracle of healing or deliverance. Sometimes it may involve strength and patience and wisdom to endure an unpleasant trial and to be an example of faith to others. It doesn't matter how God manifests His power in this life on this earth. My joy and my peace come from knowing that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me, and that in every experience of life, He is faithfully preparing and equipping me to have His best in eternity as I look to Him in faith. And saints, that's true of every child of God that looks to Him in faith, who lives this earthly life by faith and hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we already have access to heavenly blessings, heavenly places. But there is coming a day when these bodies will be changed and made fit for our heavenly calling. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes in this resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 57 to 58, that we are to bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. We are to receive a body that will be fit for heaven. We don't have one of those now, but our hope, the promise, is that one day we will put off these earthly vessels that were needed to live this earthly life, and we will put on a heavenly body that will be made fit for heaven. We must bear the image of the Lord of heaven, the man in glory, that we might enjoy our blessings to the fullest when we get on the other side. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 to 14, we'll close with this passage. In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 to 14, this is how Paul lived his life. This was his ambition in life, to look forward to going home. He lived his life. He had this perspective, this mentality, that his calling was a heavenly calling, an upward call. And in Philippians 3 and verses 7 to 14, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He was looking for a special relationship, fellowship, closeness to Jesus Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. It's by a life of faith. That I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me, that eternal purpose for which Christ died for us, that we might sit with Him in His throne as His eternal companion, as the Lamb's wife. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Saints, may we in this life, here on earth, may we constantly, daily press toward the prize of the upward call. May we live to know Him and be like Him, that we may apprehend the prize, the fullest, closest fellowship with Christ in eternity. I grew up hearing these truths all my life, and many of you have also. But it is important that we be reminded of our heavenly calling in this difficult time of dealing with all the negative impacts of the current pandemic. Saints, this world is not our home. We are foreigners and strangers and pilgrims, and we must endure the hardships of our earthly journey, but only till He comes.
till he come, oh, let the words linger on the trembling chords. Let the little while between in their golden light be seen.
Let us think how heaven and home lie beyond that till he come, till he cometh, till he cometh. It is only till he come.
When the cheer fall no longer on our ear,
hush be every murmur dumb. It is only till he come, till he cometh, till he cometh. It is only till he come.
Clouds and shadows round us press, would we have one sorrow less? All the sharpness of the cross, all that tells the world is lost.
Death and darkness and the tomb pain us only till he come. Till he cometh, till he cometh, it is only till he come. See the feast of love is spread, drink the wine and eat the bread. Sweet memorials till the Lord calls us round his heavenly board. Some from earth, from glory, some severed only till he come. Till he cometh, till he cometh, it is only till he come.